Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talks. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. I'm excited about tonight's show because we have a wonderful panel that we put together. Tonight's topic is about social media etiquette. But before we speak with our panelists, we are going to bring on one of our show's favorites, Ms. Suzanne Patterson, to speak briefly about this new Sony camera that we're getting ready to experience. Welcome to the show, Suzanne. Okay, we lost her a second. Are you there, Suzanne?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. Welcome to the show.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We want to hear all about, well, actually, you talked to us a little bit the last time you were on about this new Sony camera that I mentioned to you. So now that we're getting ready to be introduced to it, we just want to know, what do we need to look out for in terms of our makeup applications and anything in particular about this camera that we need to be aware of?
Well, you know, I think the last time we talked an awful lot about the 4K resolution coming down the pipeline. And, of course, all of the major camera companies have jumped out there with Sony releasing the F65, just this last January. It moved up its release to the tune of $65,000. So it's a very well thought out camera, and of course poised to definitely seriously compete in the 4K arena. Before I get into a little bit about that, I kind of wanted to back up a little bit, and I'm the techie person. I like to talk about technical stuff because I think that it's good to have a little bit of technology in us and relate to it. So these cameras are here to stay, and 4K is basically in the decade or so going to be a blink of an eye because they're really moving towards 8K. But one of the things I'd like to share that might be helpful to other artists when it comes to learning about all these HD cameras and their constant revolving platforms, because it really is. It's like every 6 months something different is changing. And so every year they're going to upgrade and they're going to add this and do that. And it does. It seems like it's an upgrade every 6 months ago. So you really, with how all these things have happened in the last decade, you really need to begin to see a video camera, an HD camera, as more than just a camera is basically a download link to editing software. That's really how I'm coming to look at cameras, okay, because it's all about what they can capture in the raw to enhance whatever they're going to take to the editing software. Cameras are now taped with medium, so I don't know anybody who uses tape anymore. Everything's recorded on a card that can be instantly downloaded or put into a computer and downloaded. So cameras are very much like computers now, because the camera software and the hardware are all about getting the raw image into the highest resolution possible for post-production work. It's all about how much resolution they can pack into that raw image. So it's also about seamless integration into the current editing platform. And there's wars going on even with editing platforms like Final Cut Pro and Avid, and some people are jumping ship on Final Cut Pro because they've consumerized that, and Avid is now ramping up more in the professional. And there's a whole other world of discussion, you know, for some other day. But even that is a revolving platform. One thing I do when I'm learning about and working with HD camera brands is I stay away from the camera manufacturing websites. Because, and the camera text, when I want specific information about the creativity of the image, the image capture visuals, and how they were created, the camera websites will never tell you that. That's not their thing. The camera company techs seem to know far less about their cameras, how their cameras really operate in the field under a wide range of these multiples, and that's really up to the digital cinematographers who go out and shoot them in the field. I mean, it's really from the field work. They don't learn their cameras from camera companies. They learn about them and how to shoot them by doing field work and with tons and tons of experimentations and variations and creativity with this light and that lens and this filter and yada, yada, yada. And often, and really, they lead the market because it's the camera company that has come to depend on, well, how are we going to, we want to upgrade this camera to be able to do exactly that. So lo and behold, you had a basic video camera that was invented to capture standard digital technology. Now it has the capability to interchange 35-millimeter products. Pretty amazing, and this has happened in less than 10 years. So anyway, the kind of information that you need you get from those who do extensive field work with the cameras, and those are the DPs. The results they get are related to the kind of glass that was used, such as the lens and the filters, et cetera, to the custom calibrations of its many, many electronic features, which include capturing the light and the depth of the scene. So, here's kind of an analogy, taking it to the makeup artist. I compare this, let's say, to taking a makeup course in a makeup school, and you're buying their makeup, and they're using and you're learning on their makeup. So you learn how to do a basic makeup application, but you only know how to use the school's basic brand of makeup. So you've got this basic brand of makeup that you're learning to do. So you get out of school and you're working out in the field of makeup, and then you realize with your own talent and ability that, there's many other ways to use this basic makeup. And, you can get different amazing results if you do this and this and this. And then other makeup artists are looking at your work and they're loving what you can do with just this basic makeup. And then you discover by experimenting that you can mix this makeup with other different types of makeup materials and you get even more spectacular results. Then you get to wondering why the makeup school that made this makeup didn't show you how to do these amazing things in the first place if they're so good at making and selling this makeup for their students and their customers. So you contact them and you ask the teacher if they can provide you with any more makeup techniques or add-on materials for customizing and creating and getting even more spectacular response. And they say, we gave you the products with our factory specs. So best I can do is look up the colors we currently sell. And if the demand is there, we may add some new colors to our line. And then you realize that you need more than just new colors. You need fresh textures. You need a variable finish. You need greater coverage. And then you decide, I'm just going to customize the formulation myself and make this makeup because it just doesn't cut it anymore at the factory spec. It has the potential not only to do straight work, but amazing special effects work. So if you just switch out this scenario from makeup to camera, then you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of the same analogy. I don't know if I lost you.
Hello? We're here.
I'm on a cell phone and I've had some problems with it. So I just tried to kind of paint a little bit of a picture there that you could relate to it through makeup, and that's kind of the basics of how really talented DPs start pushing the envelope with their cameras. So Anyway, so the newest member of the Sinialta family, the Sony Sinialta DF65, very strongly referred to, and they want you to know it, as a digital motion picture camera. You're gonna, you know, that's the vernacular now that's out there. So it's their version of the 4K. So Sony prides itself on the Sinialta brand of HD cameras, and it's their line that they pour all of their resolution, research, and development in bringing together the advantages of digital technology with that they want film-style operability. I mean, they want everything about it to be film-like. And it's also the tool set they install that allows ease of editing for high-end programming needs. So, again, there is a huge focus on from the camera to the editing suite. I mean, it's just, boom, download in an instant. And that's really, really what they're trying to tie together very tightly. So in the Sinialta brand, the forerunner, the game changer, was the F33. That was the game changer HD camera. And then along came the F35, which actually was the forerunner that introduced the super 35-millimeter CCD sensor, which is called the charge coupling device. Those are the red, blue, and green in the camera. And that picks up the red, blue, and green in the camera. And then they put a PL lens mount that opened the capability to interface with a vast majority of other 35-millimeter film lenses. That was huge for the F-35. So the F-65 came along. Now it's basically the same, but it's got a tighter editing features in there, along with the 4K. It's now a CMOS sensor instead of a CCD sensor. So it's got the capability of reaching up into 72 frames per second at 4K and 120 frames per second on 2K. The neat thing about the F65 is that it boasts Wi-Fi connectivity that you can just manipulate it on your computer tablet, you know, maybe eventually on your iPhone. Seriously. So it's out there, and obviously y'all are having an interface with it. The thing about 4K cameras is that you're really not really seeing true 4K resolution unless you've got a video screen that is at least 60 inches. You're not going to start seeing any difference.
Okay.
4K and 1080p actually maintain the same visual appearance, but as far as being able to see, it's gonna show up on the end result, and that's going to be on the viewing screen of the consumer. That's where you're going to have to wait to see it.
Gotcha.
But there really isn't that you're not going to have an on-set interface to what the final edit will look like. You know, you're just getting raw playback, and you're not getting playback at the resolution of it, because they just don't have monitors. They don't really have 4K monitors yet. So it's whatever
so we just
they
have to
run it through. So. But hopefully, I mean, you know, if you're looking at it on anything less than a 45-inch screen, you're not gonna see much. You're not gonna be able to see your makeup. You're just not gonna be able to see it.
Right.
It's gonna look pretty much the same as if it was a 2K. It's only when you go into editing that you're able to really see what your makeup looks like. So it's
It's going to be interesting to see. So we'll, and hopefully they'll give us an opportunity to see dailies. I don't know if that's going to.
Well, but you have video
really
assist.
Tell the story.
You got video assist, and that's the best you're going to look at.
Okay.
I don't know who does dailies anymore, except in you doing a film shoot, because dailies cost so much money. So much money.
Yeah, they still do.
Do they still do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
now.
What was that?
Say again?
I said they usually put them on DVD now, or some studios I know will have a website where they will give you, like, access to a website to go and view them.
Okay, so you're not sitting in a screening room at PhotoChem like I used to do years ago.
No.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, nobody's really doing that much more either, no.
That to me is dailies, okay? Sitting in a screening room at PhotoChem, because that's where we went and watched them. So it's interesting to see how it all. Yeah, DVDs, you know, a website where you can see it. I can understand that. That's the way it is now because it's just too darn expensive.
We will keep you posted.
The old-fashioned way.
We'll definitely keep you posted and let you know how it's treating us.
Well, it's just continuing to use the same concepts that we've talked about in past shows. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I really wouldn't. If you are confident in your technique, if you are working back to bare skin, which is what we talked about before, and making sure that your saturation to skin doesn't cross over the over, you know, doesn't oversaturate to where you can pick it up in camera. You know, even the monitor's still going to be your best friend in this. It really is. I wouldn't get too overly worried about it. I just really wouldn't, because if you're confident in your technique and all the other elements are in place, it's just another piece of editing software. That's basically what the camera is now. They're just looking at it more as from transferring it from camera to the software. It's just getting to be more about software than anything.
Gotcha.
You know, and just look at it that way and trust your abilities. We've talked for a couple of years about how to refine your technique. So if you've been listening, people have been listening on the shows, they definitely can go back and review if they need to catch up on anything. But
that sounds like a plan.
Yeah. I wouldn't give it too much worry. I would, you know, if you're very good about, you're very happy about how your work looks on the monitor and how it has looked in past finished products, you know, I wouldn't worry about 4K. I wouldn't give it too much. I would just look at it, you know, my work is fine. I trust myself. You know, have a lot of faith and confidence in your technique, definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. We appreciate you coming by and sharing that with us. And
anytime.
Just
appreciate
a little refresher.
It. All right. Take care.
Thank you. All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
For those of you who are listening to the show tonight, if you want to call in, ask a question, make a comment, that number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. And our guest tonight joining us on the panel for social media etiquette is beauty and lifestyle expert Leanne Farbs. Welcome to the show, Leanne.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm really good.
Good. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
And we also have hairstylist and makeup artist, product trainer, and blogger, Santara Casamajor. Is that you, Santara?
Yes, I'm on here.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Hey, Santara.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, sweetie.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Again, thank both of you ladies for joining us tonight. Why don't we start off by the both of you just briefly introducing yourselves for those who don't know you all, and just telling us what the name of your blog is and what's the focus of your blog.
Okay, I'll go first. My name is Leanne, and I write a blog called themakeupgirl.net. And the focus of the blog, which is actually, today is the 6th anniversary of the blog.
Oh, wow.
Woo-hoo.
I know. So weird. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, I can't believe I've been blogging for 6 years. But the blog is, the focus of the blog is basically universal beauty. I write for every woman, not just brown women or women of color. I approach it more from a makeup artist standpoint, a makeup artist point of view, and try and find solutions for everybody regardless of their skin color.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And skin color?
Yes. Okay. Well, my name is Santara, or Tara, it doesn't matter. I go by either. I've been in the beauty industry for, I think this year will be 21 years.
Gone. Wow.
Yeah, so I've only been, I started when I was 5, if you do the math. but I've been blogging, I've actually started blogging 3.5 years ago. Yes, I've been blogging 3.5 years. I've been on social media a lot longer. But I've, you know, still evolving as a blogger and learning a whole lot from women such as Leanne. And I do more product training now than anything. If I had to say what I do the most now, it would be more product training. And I work with a beauty wellness company, network marketing, working with more network marketing companies.
In the name of your blog?
Oh, yes, my blog, duh. thegorgeousingredient.com.
Okay.
And my focus is just beauty. It's evolved. I've been talking more about hair because that tends to be the topic when I'm out. People ask about my hair. So that just seems to be the way it's evolving. It's not kind of where I set it to be, but that seems to be where it's going. So I believe if it's not broke, don't fix it. So...
Right.
Keep going with it. No sense in reinventing the wheel.
Let me ask you, ladies, because, you know, you all may have started your blogs for different reasons, and I guess I'm trying to figure out how important is social media to what you do on your blog? Or with your blog?
I think it's essential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been able to, just from the use of social media, just in the beginning when I used to use, this is Leanne, by the way, in the beginning when I used to use, like, MySpace,
mm-hmm.
like back in the dinosaur days of social media, MySpace and message boards and stuff like that, I was able to increase the traffic of my blog by probably, I would say, 300% just from using, like I was tweeting back in 2007 when people were like, what is Twitter? I don't
right.
get that. And I'm like, it's free word-of-mouth marketing. Don't you get it? But that's because I came from a marketing background. Like I worked for, you know, I had a day job that I worked for an internet company, so I knew all about you know, word of mouth marketing and marketing plans. When I first started using Twitter, and then I mean I didn't start using Facebook I think until oh gosh it's only been a couple of years, like maybe 2007 I think I got on Facebook, or 2008. Mm-hmm. But I was able to increase the traffic to my blog by 300%. Like it went from like 32 people looking at it to hundreds, and then hundreds went to thousands. And so I think if you're a blogger or really in any business, the social media is essential these days. It's almost like it's required. It's a requirement.
Right.
I agree. I was the opposite. I actually started on Facebook before I started on Twitter. So I kind of just worked the opposite. I knew about Twitter, but I was a lot of people. I opened it up, and I saw all these little posts flying by, and I was like, oh, my goodness. This is like chat on steroids. Like, what is going on? And it seemed very overwhelming. And so I bought a book. I'm very nerdy like that. Like, if I don't get it, I will go buy a book and read about it to kind of understand it. So that's what I did. I Googled and just was like, okay, what exactly is Twitter? How does this work?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then I signed up. But I did Facebook first, and then I went over to Twitter. And then I cheated on Facebook, and then I just broke up with Facebook for a while. And I've been going out with Twitter. We've been exclusive, and now I kind of see Facebook a little bit on the side, but Twitter is my main squeeze.
Oh, my gosh, it's so funny.
But, you know,
you broke up with Facebook.
Well, let me ask you, since you guys mentioned Facebook and Twitter, do you think one's more important than the other, or one's more helpful in what you do than the other?
I think that they're very different. I think that Facebook is more community-based,
mm-hmm.
And Twitter is more promotional, or basically it's like for shorter bursts of information. Whereas Facebook, I think it's like 190 characters you can put, or maybe it's 210. You can tell more about it. And then plus also, I think the people that use Facebook and the people that tend to use Facebook tend to be in communities or in groups, or like they use it more for engagement than they do to relay information. So that being said, you have to approach it a little bit when you're as an end user. I mean, as a business, you have to approach it a little bit differently. You have to, like, the things that I say to the people on the Makeup Girl page, I wouldn't necessarily say to my Twitter followers, or I might offer them a special contest instead of, you know, that's not available someplace else, because I know that the people that come to that page, or some of them might not even be on Twitter.
Right. Yes, I definitely agree with that. I think Facebook reminds me of, it's kind of like someone took a chat, like a message board, and you know how you go on a message board and there are so many different ideas to this one message board, and it's like Facebook is that big message board where you can be a part of a group, you know, you can be a part of a group, and then off of that group, be a part of another group that shares a different idea. So, kind of, you know, it gives you a different idea as far as, you know, looking at it as community. Where Twitter is the same idea that just keeps generating. It's like brainstorming nonstop. You know, brainstorming just nonstop. It just keeps going. And, you know, I find that the people on Facebook don't like the fast pace of Twitter. And Twitter, people on Twitter, a lot of people, you'll see the tweet, they think Facebook has gotten boring. So, you know, sometimes I see, you know, the dialogue go back and forth. But you see, it's interesting because even Facebook keeps evolving and they try to stay, they're trying to move, and they've changed a lot of things. So, you know, now they're doing timelines. It's interesting. They don't look like Twitter, but the verbiage is similar. You know, now there's timelines over there. You know, people are hashtagging.
Right.
So you're starting to see a few things kind of, you know, spill over there. So it should be interesting to see where that will go.
Well, you know, for me, this is to me, I think Facebook to me definitely looks a lot similar to Twitter in certain ways, like with the hashtags, like you said, the timeline. But I don't know if you remembered when of course, everybody was on MySpace, and then everybody started using Facebook. And then MySpace started doing a lot of the things that Facebook was doing.
Right.
Look at MySpace now. Nobody really uses it.
MySpace is the abandoned amusement park of the Internet.
Right. Some people from the music business still, you know, use MySpace.
No, they do. I mean, I think it's more for musicians now, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I got rid of my page a long time ago, like about 2 years ago I got rid of it. When I started using Facebook regularly, I got rid of it. I went over there and I was like, you know, I didn't even know I still had this, and I just deleted it.
Now, Facebook to me looks very junky.
Cluttered.
There's a lot of stuff on Facebook that I absolutely hate. Like, I hate when people are posting sneakers and all that crap on your page. So no matter how much I go into my settings and I make the changes, you still have all of this junk on your pages. So I hardly even go to Facebook anymore. Every once in a while, I'll check messages or whatever from my phone. I really won't go out and do anything because it's just garbage to me.
How do you want
people to just stop?
Well,
I've never experienced anything. Nobody posts sneakers on my page.
Yes, that was like a spam. I remember that they were like high heel Jordans or something like that.
Yeah, spammy thing. Like I don't have any spam like that. So I mean, most of the only thing that I get are from people that I know. So. maybe you need to lock down those privacy settings.
I need to check my friends is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Or one of your friends, if they opened up a link, then what it does is it grabs all the friends and it just kind of keeps sending things out. And then if that one person in that 800 to 1,000 open up something, it keeps doing the same thing.
Mhm.
So in that sense.
Well, now that we got all of this. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, you know, comparisons and everything out of the way. I want to talk about what we see in here, if you want to call it that, on some of these social networks, particularly Twitter, since that's where you all live, on Twitter. Santara, that's your boo and all of that. So, you know, we're going to talk about Twitter. But my thing is, you know, we're all in the beauty industry in our own way. And just like Leanne said, Twitter is promotional.
Right.
So, you know, if we're out on Twitter promoting what we do or promoting our blogs, or you know, sometimes it's a combination of both things, how should we present ourselves? If I'm on Twitter and it's just me, you know, I'm just tweeting whatever versus I'm on Twitter and I'm tweeting, but I have a brand that I represent. I have a blog that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Am I to be on Twitter? How should I present myself on Twitter is the question I want to ask. How should I present myself if I'm there, but everybody knows that I represent a brand and everybody knows that I do this and I do that. How should I represent myself on Twitter in this beauty industry?
Honestly and completely transparently. I mean, I think that Twitter's been around long enough that people know why brands are there. It's not a secret, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you tweet with integrity and that you make sure that it's 100% transparent what you're doing. I always tell my clients, because I do social media for some brands, I always tell them it's always nice to sprinkle in a little bit of personal information in with it, like, you know, like behind-the-scenes photos or stuff like that to make it seem like you're, you know, because that's all people want. You know, everybody is on that 15-minute, you know, like gotta have it now nation or world, rather.
Mm-hmm.
That if you sprinkle a little bit of that sort of like you can only get it here type of vibe, then you know people love that. They love that, and so if and then they'll be more willing to engage with you because they feel like they're getting a piece of you, for lack of a better word. If that makes sense.
Yes, right. I agree. I think you have to
Did
be
I
honest.
Ramble? Does that make sense?
No, I actually typed into Beauty Talk. I said, she said sprinkle. She did not say pour.
Sprinkle it.
Yeah, sprinkle some of your personality in there. I think you have to be
just
you
a
have
little
to
bit.
Honest.
Just a yep. little bit. You have to control your. Remember, Andy Warhol said everybody's famous for 15 minutes, right? So, but even back then, it was like, you know, you're controlling what other people see. It's the same thing here. You have to control your own outward persona. So, like, has to be like a carefully crafted, you know, you sprinkle a little bit in there. Definitely don't tweet from the doctor's office while you're getting in vitro. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
just like, you know, but like to see what kind of tea you're drinking or your lunch or, you know, or like wigs backstage, you know, or lipsticks that you're using on set or things like that that are like sort of just everyday stuff. That's right. Totally fine. Now,
Leanne, I remember probably maybe a year after being on Twitter, I think. Now, I know you have several accounts, actually.
Yeah.
But I remember in the beginning, just following the first account that I knew you have, of course, was Leanne Foss.
Right.
Now, I remember a lot of your tweets. You know, you tweet about the music you listen to and all this stuff. But you would also tweet, you know, certain words, which, you know, most people would find offensive.
Aha. Well, see, that's true. Well, see, that's my uncensored account. I do have an account I state that on my you know, like most people would find offensive. I have a horrible mouth. That's just my thing. I mean, I'm just like, I'm not, I've been working on it. I'm trying, but I put on there, I said, this is my personal uncensored account. If you would like beauty-related tweets, go to the other account.
But that's what I love about it, the fact that, but I think before you ever put out there that was your uncensored account, you didn't have that out there. But
no, I didn't.
I love it. But I love the fact that, I'm not saying I love the fact that you were cursing. I love the fact that you were being yourself. And although there were no curse words and all that, you were being yourself, but I did not look at you as being unprofessional.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
You didn't look at me as being like a nasty potty mouth.
I guess
you just gonna drop the F bomb today.
I just really didn't get that from you because it's not like you were saying certain things like every day or all the time.
Right.
Because you weren't just saying things words just to be saying them either. So I
That's
kinda,
true.
You know,
there were interjections.
You know, maybe that hip hop made her say that or something. I don't know.
Right.
But now you have it on your account. It's an uncensored account. And so, you know, I guess you can see the difference now.
Right. Yeah. Well, I figured that was an important distinction to make because, and a lot of people, I think, do that. There are a lot of people that actually have business accounts and say, this is my personal account, you know, that my views are not representative of my employer, da 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 da. You know, like, you know, I've seen a lot of people do stuff like that. I figured putting up a disclaimer was a good idea. And I think that if you are that way, I mean, most of the time it's like my advice to people about blogging is not to be potty mouthed. But I think with Twitter, because it's more personal, more like an extension of yourself, whereas blogging is sort of like for your, that's, you treat it kind of like your business. I think that's different.
Right.
People might call me
a
hypocrite about that, but I think there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. There is. I don't think it's hypocritical. I think it's really important that it's interesting, you know, if you worked in a brick and mortar type of job. You know, there's a way you act on your job, and there's a way you act off of the job. And one of the things that we always laugh about is when we work in buildings, we laugh because we can't wait for the Christmas party. Because the Christmas party is where you find the crazy, you know, the one that's going to be crazy, the one that may not have a job on Monday.
Right, the one with the lampshade.
Right.
Right, but it's because there's just no space for people. They don't feel comfortable to let their hair down, so to say, at work anymore. There's a certain face you put on at work. And so if you go to the Christmas party and you have a couple of drinks or you speak a different way, people are like, whoa. But social media, because we're not in the brick and mortar, social media allows us to bring that outside and kind of not redefine it, but basically show how, guess what, I can go to work. And then I can show you a little of myself at the same time. Like,
mm-hmm.
I see, like, when I go to New York, I've been to a few of Leanne's events, and I would never know she has a potty mouth because when I go to her event, I go to the makeup girls event. She throws the best party ever. You would just have the best time. You want to go back, you know? But I just would never know. But I have stayed after, and I was able to see Leanne. Like, she's, the party is over, I can relax a little bit, but she's still a businesswoman. Even though when she shows a little part of herself, you know she's a friend. Like, if you wanted to sit and talk about something, you can feel comfortable about that. And I think with her doing that on social media, it allows people to really feel comfortable with her. The name of the game is engagement. You have to learn how to engage with people, and you have to be honest and true, because the worst thing ever is for someone to meet you and you not be who you have put yourself out to be.
Oh,
you know, you've created a character.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've met people who shall remain nameless that are one way, and then when you meet them, they're either cold fish or they're like, oh, hi, you know, like one of those sort of like they pretend that they don't know you. I'm like, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
You know, that's really important. And what you said about that, I think that the word we're looking for is authenticity. You have to be your authentic self. And I think that you have to be that way with everything that you do. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Anything's not going to work.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys say that we have to be engaging. How do we deal with followers and friends that we meet on these social media sites that we don't know? You know, we have a lot of followers and friends that we know personally. We've met a lot of people. I mean, I've met a lot of people on these social media networks where I don't know them personally, but we've exchanged numbers, we've talked, but we haven't met face-to-face.
Right.
So I still feel like they're my friends. But how do we deal with people in our business? I'm just going to speak, you know, like for myself, like another makeup artist. How do I connect with these people that I don't know, who they think they know me,
mm-hmm.
because we're now friends on Facebook or they follow me on Twitter. How do I... You know, especially the people who connect with you that want something from you,
right?
And you don't know them, but you want to remain professional.
Meet him in a public place. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I've never had any type of weirdness with anybody that I met on Twitter. I did feel slightly mobbed one year at the makeup show. Like, I felt kind of claustrophobic because everybody was like, can I get a picture? Can we do this? Can we, you know, like, can I talk to you? You know, I felt a little weird. But for the most part, I mean, I think that if I just ask myself, what I think is so funny is that people will tweet, I met Leanne. She's so nice. Like, they thought that I was going to be, like, a mean shrew or something like that, you know? Like, and I guess it's because people, I guess, have experienced, you know, meeting people and them not being authentic. You know, they're like, oh, you're just like you are on Twitter. I'm like, I know. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, you know. But I, you know, I just think, I've always just reached out to people, like, if they want to meet or they want to talk or whatever. I try to keep all that stuff to a minimum, though, because, I mean, seriously, if everybody wanted to pick my brain for 5 minutes, then I would have no time.
Right.
You know, or like, or can I meet you for coffee for a half an hour? Well, no, not really. You know, like, and you don't want to
right.
be. But so you just have to be mindful of that, I guess. But, I mean, I think that if you really want to engage or meet people like that, set up some sort of, set up a meetup or a get-together or a meetup at a bar,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
right.
and like, and hang out for 2 hours and then, you know, network there, you know, instead of
right.
like meeting them one-on-one, like set it up so that, like, I did a couple of those here in D.C. where you set up something and just, like, let all the people that want to talk to you come to one place and they can meet and talk with each other and talk to you, and you can get a business card and you can get one too, and we'll have a couple of margaritas and see you later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me just say this, because when you know, doing a couple of meetups and all of that, sometimes I feel like it's something where people think that they can get so much from you, like they come to these things, and it's not really, to me, it's not really about them coming to meet you, to get to know you, or, just to meet these people that they chat with on Twitter all the time. Sometimes it's about give me.
Right.
And that's so draining, and, you know, it turns you off where you don't even want to do things like that hardly.
Well, just because they say gimme doesn't mean you have to give it.
No, you don't have to give it, but sometimes you get tired of hearing it.
Well, I mean,
I
think that kind of goes with the territory, though. I mean, it's like as you rise in your profession, there are going to
mm-hmm.
be the people that are like, gimme. But unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
that's just the way it is. And you just have to be, I think, able to weed out the ones that are sincere versus the ones that are not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are famous makeup artists. You should know this by now.
Yeah, well,
I think as women with us, I think as women, one of the things that plays in with this is that we do tend to, we are emotional beings. We do tend to try to find the good in people. We try not to, leave or want to leave anything, you know, messy in any way or make anyone feel put off by our attitudes or something like that, you know, of that nature. But I think we have to kind of check the emotions at the door and say, you know what, I need to keep my eyes open and know, and what doesn't feel right is not right. And just be okay with that. Sometimes someone smiling in your face and being a certain way, you just have to be like, you know, you smile at them, you nod, and you keep it moving.
Exactly.
You have to, Felicia Walker Benson said to me, talk to me about putting people in categories. It's okay.
Absolutely.
You
yep,
have to put
is.
People in categories. And, you know, I've always been good in my personal life at compartmentalizing things. But now I have to bring it over to the other side and know that I have to put people in categories. And sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't want to label anybody. But it's for your
life. You're not labeling.
Right.
That's not labeling at all. That's just being smart.
Right. Yep. Go ahead.
All the time, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But sometimes you can get caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get tired. You're just like, okay, you know, like, not again, or I'm just tired of this. And you don't know how to check your feelings, your emotions at the door. On some particular days or some particular nights, you're not even thinking about that. You're just like, look, you know, I'm tired of this. This is getting on my nerves. And it's just, you know, you don't want to come off the wrong way because you don't want people to think, just like we were talking about earlier, she's nothing like what I thought she was.
Right.
But sometimes it's annoying. So for those people out there, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you can get a whole lot more when you don't have your hand out.
Hmm. Right. Well, I mean, I can't knock anybody's hustle. I mean, you have to respect people that are trying to sort of like get things, you know, for themselves. But I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and it's not that everybody that you meet up with that you don't know, you're just meeting, does stuff like this. And it's not that, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to happen because it does happen. But it's just sometimes I think people should just kind of have just a little more respect. And
Right. Sometimes,
you know, just slow it down a little bit. Of course,
mm-hmm.
if you're coming, I don't blame you. I try to get what I can get too. But slow
mm-hmm.
it down a little bit. Think about the other person a little bit. And just, you know.
Right.
Give them a break, you know, 15, 20 minutes of knowing you before you start having your hand out.
Right. Before you start asking me for a job.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, ladies, we have a bunch of callers on the line, and I know there's questions in the chat room as well. So let me take a caller, and then we'll flip to the chat room, and we'll go back and forth until we get everybody. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the first caller is from the 310 area code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi.
This is Desiree Stovall.
Hi, Desiree.
Hi, how are you girls doing?
We're wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm catching the tail end of the show because I'm just getting in, but I do want to comment on what's going on with the show. I feel like I've had the luxury of not being burned, so I approach people in a very sincere way, and some people they may not take it as, oh, I don't know if she's for something or whatever, but I'm very straightforward. But I'm very sincere, and whenever I contact an artist or if an artist contacts me, I'm very straightforward and I'm very honest because I have not been burned. So I don't have that stigma or that nasty taste in my mouth about being open with other artists. So sometimes I am concerned with how I come across to other artists because they may not feel that it's genuine, even though it is, because they've been burnt. You know, and I can't stop being me because of what they've been through, but that's just how it is for me right now. And knock on wood, I'll never be burned, but I understand also from the other artist's point of view that they've been burned. They can't give. They can't openly be like I am all the time. So I do get it.
And, you know, I think sometimes when you're speaking of, like, social media, like when you're on Twitter, you know, sometimes Twitter is almost like, you see sometimes people are almost using Twitter like text messaging. And I think that you have to be very careful with your tone and with your words when you're tweeting, because even some people, you know, let's just say, Desiree, I'm tweeting you. I'm trying to get to know you. Maybe I do want to ask you, I don't know, for something. You know what I mean? For a job or advice or something. You know, maybe I want to. Have you as my mentor or something. I sometimes feel like we have to be very careful with how we say things, only because just like in a text message or an email, sometimes people read into things the wrong way, and therefore I've turned you away because you thought that I meant one thing when really that's not really what I meant.
Right.
Wouldn't
I
you
do
agree?
I do I do feel, not to cut you off, I do feel that there's a misconception whenever you text somebody or if you are tweeting or even Facebooking, that people tend to assume the tone within your message and take it completely the wrong way when you're really coming from a genuine place. And it just goes back to conversation over the phone or in person cannot replace, you know, that the tweeting cannot replace that. Because you'll never
absolutely
know.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
But that's all
I
wanted to
say. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. And I'll see you girls very soon.
Yes, we will.
Can you text me your husband's number? I was looking for it. Couldn't find it.
Yeah. I'll text it to you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, hon. Talk to you later.
Okay. See you later.
Bye, lady.
Okay. Any questions from the chat room?
From the chat room?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We have quite a few. Janelle is asking, how much is too much personal sharing when branding?
I think anything having to do with your relationship, with life, death, anything that where it's like, well, maybe like if, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that if people share like about marriage or something like that, but it should be very superficial. Like, we renewed our vows today. Here's a picture of our rings. You know what I mean? Something like that, you know, instead of like, you know, pictures of your, you know. I just think you just need to keep it very, very superficial across the board. So, you know, nothing about your relationships, nothing about, definitely nothing about anything personal about, like, the cause or effect of your relationships or funerals or, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, that's not what it's there for.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I agree.
Just very, very, very superficial as much as possible.
So when you say funerals, do you mean like someone tweeting, let's say you're at a funeral and you're tweeting about what's going on, or you're just, or do you mean?
Well, I think that that's, you know, weird and disrespectful, I mean, and I only did it like one time. I did a post from like when my Nana passed back a couple of years back. I wrote a blog post about it, but that was just because she was like my beauty icon, and I sort of tied it in that way. But I mean, like, you know, like checking in on Foursquare at the funeral home, and you know,
yeah,
you know, no,
yeah,
no, thank you. I don't want to. I mean, you know, hi, you know, Shelley just became the mayor of Florence Funeral Home. You know, no. Just think of it like would you want the world to know everything that you're doing right now, or would you just want the world to know a small piece? You know, like some things I think are just too personal to share. I've even heard of people sharing like, My ex is a deadbeat dad, and he hasn't paid child support, and da-da-da-da. No. You have to remember anything like on Twitter and the Internet and all that, it stays. It's the Internet.
Right.
So you don't want your kids to Google one day and find stuff about it that you said about your dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff even goes back to what my sister was saying, you know, people using Twitter like it's text message. I mean, some of that stuff you share with your friends via text, that's not something that you put on Twitter.
If I ever get into a conversation with somebody where it's like three tweets back and forth, more than like two or three tweets back and forth about something that's going on, I'm like, let's take it to DM. Because
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Or I'll text you.
Right.
Good point.
Good point.
Right.
And I think it's important for people to understand what branding is. I think there are a whole lot of words that float around that people don't really have the full meaning of what branding is all about. People want to brand themselves, but they don't understand business. And the two go together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, I think, people have to first and foremost understand, what does branding mean? And
right.
what are you trying to brand?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You know, every makeup artist doesn't have to be a brand because someone said you have to.
Right.
You don't have to be that solo entity of a brand. You don't have to be that. I think, you know, if you're using Twitter to build yourself up, to build a name for yourself, which doesn't necessarily mean that you're branding, you know, you just kind of want people to get to know who you are. You're trying to make connections, so to say. You're networking. You
mm-hmm.
have to be careful of your rants, Twitter rants. You
oh,
have
sure.
to be careful. Whether it's, you know, if you're a makeup artist and you're ranting about celebrities, you have to be careful, because going to events that the makeup girl gives, the makeup show I'm at, you're running into people who work for companies where celebrities are spokespeople.
Exactly.
Right.
Is it not a conflict of interest if you're on Twitter ranting about said celebrity, that really their life shouldn't matter? The choices that they make are the choices that they make. Yes, you have an opinion. But if
mm-hmm.
you're using it to brand yourself, is it wise to say you talk about said celebrity and then you're smiling in the face of a person,
mm-hmm.
of a major company who heads a company, saying, hey, when can I intern for you? Can I assist for you? Why would they want to hire you? Because you sit
right.
on Twitter dogging the celebrity who is the main spokesperson for this particular brand. And I
right.
think that the artist, bloggers, artists, they don't think about it like that. They're just on Twitter and they're just ranting, or like Leanne said, ranting about your private life or
mm-hmm.
the man in your life, or why men are or are not like this. Well, guess
yeah.
what? If you're ranting about men and you're a blogger and how horrible men are, if Dove is doing a for men only promotion, why are they going to reach out to you as a blogger if you just ranted and dogged men?
Right.
You can't be used as a platform. So you shoot yourself in the foot.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
I think that's what you have to understand about, you know, really using social media for good to build yourself up. You have
mm-hmm.
to really understand that. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time. People are losing jobs by the tweet. I love it.
Oh,
you
for
know?
Sure, for sure.
They do, because they don't understand. You know, I've seen people, you can't use the N-word freely and then kind of promote yourself as a universal blogger for all people. You can't do it.
That's foolish.
No.
That's just foolish.
It's foolishness.
That's crazy.
But people do it.
Right.
Right.
You know, people do it. And that's where you have to understand branding. Understanding. Tide wants you to wash all their clothes. So they're going to make several commercials appealing to various different types of people to buy their laundry detergent. They're not going to use any verbiage that will demean or put down the housewife.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're not going to do it because she's the primary, you know, the woman does the primary shopping for the household. They're
right.
going to appeal to her emotional appeal. They're not going to do anything. You know, they're not going to come on and say fathers are terrible. They don't do laundry. They're not going to even take pit shots at the family.
Right.
They're not going to do
right.
it. You know, so people have to realize that it's a big business. You have to understand the business of it above everything.
Right.
Absolutely.
Our next caller is from the 708 area code. Hello.
This is Viola.
Hi, Viola.
Hey,
lady. Hi, Viola.
Oh, my goodness. All this information, and I hope all of these so-called bloggers and Twitters are taking it all in, because I am, and I don't blog. Oh, my goodness. And you can tell Leanne and the beautiful Santara mom, they're putting it down. So, you know, much love, and I respect both of you. And I've been following the makeup girl since 07, 06, 07. And I was
yeah.
working on A Day of Beauty with Reggie Wells. And
yep.
I never heard of a blog or a blogger until I came across her. just on being on the internet. And I said, well, let me check her out. And she was giving great reviews on Cindy Watson. And so I educated myself on her. And I, at that time, MySpace was the Facebook. So I don't know if she remembers that. But, yeah, I reached out to her, and I gave her her props, you know. And same goes for Santara. You know, she's a beautiful, genuine person inside and out. And she embraced me in my own hometown. So a lot of love to you, Santara. And I respect the Tonal Sisters as well. But this is a lot of information and a lot of information where bloggers and makeup artists can take it to the next level. So you are giving us so much education, and even with me as being a brand. And, again, I don't tweet as much, and I don't blog, but I'm not an expert in blogging. So I will put my business out there, and I do have a potty mouth.
You're not.
You're not. So much love, and I hope to see all of you guys soon. And the Tonal Sisters, I will be in ATL next month in May. Yeah, so when I do get together, I hope we all break bread together. It's never about me, so it's about me, you know, feeding off your energy to make me a better makeup artist, to make me a better brand. So, and I appreciate all of you ladies. And thank you for letting me join in, and thank you for the information.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
You.
See you next month.
Bye, Viola.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye. So for the next
caller.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, let me bring the next caller in from the Baltimore area. Let's see. Hello.
Hello. Hi, guys. This is Janaya Moore. How are you?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing well. I wanted to chat in the chat room, but I broke my keyboard. But I just wanted to say, like, I've been on Twitter, Facebook, and all for a while, and I'm, like, one of the quiet ones. And I see a lot of people, they just, like, seem so thirsty, and they seem so opportunist, and it kind of throws me off sometimes. I feel like it's so tacky to put yourself, I know we have to put ourselves out there, but, I mean, I can see you, you know, and like someone said in the chat room, like, we are all competition in, you know, some ways. So it's like, I see what you're doing, you know, and whoever knows who else sees what you're doing too. So you're not really doing, you know, doing yourself a service. You're actually kind of increasing your competition because everyone knows what's going on. And another thing, like, I was, like, I'm on shoots all the time, and I was on a shoot today, and I like, teeter between this fine line of when to tweet, when not to tweet, when to tweet pick, because I'm like, I don't know if these pictures are going to be shot for specs. I don't know. You know, even if I ask, I still don't know, and I don't want to put something out there prematurely, or if I'm working on a campaign for someone, you can't really put that out there. Like, I can say I'm going to, you know, a shoot, I don't want to take pictures of my kids up the whole time, you know, but I got a tweet, so.
I would
ask ahead of time. I've done that before where I've been on set someplace. Ask ahead of time, is it okay if I tweet while I'm here? Just ahead of time.
Right.
And then that way they'll be like, yes or no. Sometimes they might want you to. Oh, yeah, the hashtag is blah, 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 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask ahead of time, then that way you don't have to worry about it the day of, and then that, you know, when everybody's rushed.
Right.
I think that's the best approach to it, is just to ask ahead of time. That's the safest thing to do.
And, like, with me, I'm, like, a very personable person. So when I typically meet people in person, like, I'll follow them on Twitter afterwards. But I'm, like, trying to ease into talking more on Twitter to people. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, I don't know, it's so odd to me. I guess I'm like old, but I'm young. I don't know. I'm holding on to you.
How you feel?
Yes.
We understand.
But no, I'm like, I know people, you know, it's crazy because a lot of makeup artists in the city, like, I'll talk to them, like, a lot of newer makeup artists, and then, I don't know, sometimes people just seem so extra, and they just seem so opportunist, and I don't know where the limit is sometimes, so, and I'm not even really, like, out there like that. I'm not big enough, and yet I'm still little, so.
I don't know. But you hear me, like, this is me all the time.
But thanks for letting me call and rant.
Oh, no problem. I mean, I do understand what you're saying. And I think you see it at all levels. But I don't know, I just think that you just have to, like, and we touched on it, my sister touched on it, Leanne has touched on it. I just think that we just have to kind of just be careful when we respond to these people. If this is someone that you think is an opportunist or what have you, I think you just have to be careful in how you respond. Again, just like Leanne said, you know, people are going to always, you know, they're always going to be out for something or trying to get something. It's just the nature of the business. But
right.
I think it's just that we have to learn how to just be careful with how we respond to people because, again, like my sister said, you don't want people to think, you know, like maybe you have one idea about me, you know, oh, she's nice, she's this. And then if I respond in the wrong way, you take it the wrong way, and then you think I'm not so nice. You
uh-huh,
know, and then maybe
uh-huh.
then you start telling other people, oh, you know, I sent her a tweet and I asked her this and she wasn't so nice, and then so now they all have this new opinion of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think we just have to be careful.
Yes.
Definitely.
We're gonna come across all kinds of people. So
yeah.
Any more questions from the chat room?
There's a ton flying around there.
Janelle wanted also to know, how do you get yourself out there without sounding like a commercial on a never-ending loop?
a never-ending loop. I would... is Janelle a blogger, did she say, or no?
Janelle, are you a blogger?
Makeup artist, does she blog?
Janelle, are you...
Do you blog?
Oh, I think she hung up. I'm not sure.
Let's see if she'll do... I just know Janelle from Twitter. I'm not sure if she blogs.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are ways that you can do it so that things will post automatically for you.
Yeah, she's a blogger.
Like I said before, I think that Twitter's been around long enough so that people already know what it is and what it's about. The things that I don't like are when people email me and say, follow me back.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when they tweet me and say that, I mean, they say, follow back, please. You know,
right.
I think that the best way for you to, and this goes back to what we said earlier, just be authentic. It's about authenticity and for you to have transparency in your dealings with people. And I think that people are a lot more, because what you see is what you get. So I think they understand that, and I think that they respond very well to that, I think. I think that the best way to do it without sounding like a commercial is just be yourself
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and be honest about what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and tweak pictures of stuff. People are visual. You know, if you're a makeup artist, tweak pics of your work. Look at my new work. What do you think, you guys? You know?
Mm-hmm.
People are definitely visual creatures.
Yeah.
You know?
If you can tweet it, then tweet it.
Right. Or even if it's not like even if it's not something from like on set. Like, just tweet
mm-hmm.
some editorial stuff that you've done. Or,
mm-hmm.
some, you know, some like, take a twit pic of something from your book.
Right. Right.
And then
people will be like, oh, wow, you know, I mean, it's just another way to engage.
Yes, there's the word. She said it, engage.
Engage.
Yes.
Engage.
Engagement. Mm-hmm. And get creative. There's a... A makeup artist I've seen, and he doesn't necessarily tweet his work, but he goes to this thing on days where he will tweet like a flower, and then he'll say, you know, what that color inspired him. Like he one day
mm-hmm.
he tweeted like this yellow flower, and he was saying how he would love to mix that with a nice lavender or something. And, you know, he talked about the skin tone that it inspired him to kind of pull colors together and what color lip he would put with it. So I noticed he'll do things like that, which is totally different. But it
mm-hmm.
really
that is
the head working.
That's a good
idea. I mean, it's really creative, but you don't necessarily tweet his work. Or he would tweet a flower and say, oh, this would be such a great lip gloss if, you know, maybe this pigment would be added into it. So he really
mm-hmm.
uses just life to
right.
quit pick and
mm-hmm.
show inspiration and things of that nature. So, you know, there's a lot of creative ways you want to find your niche in because, I mean, there's a lot of us out there. So everybody's trying to find their way. To
right.
see what stands out. And that's why being yourself is really, really important because if I spend my time trying to be the makeup girl, I can be inspired by her and
mm-hmm.
watch her model. But if I start acting like her and I go out, they're not getting Santara, they're getting Leanne. Or they're getting
right.
the makeup girl. They're not even getting Leanne. They're just getting some pieces of the makeup girl. There's no authenticity
right.
there. And so...
Right.
There's no engagement. There's nothing to really draw them to because what they think they like is not really who I am. So when they meet me, it's like, girl, please.
Right.
Right.
Where is the makeup girl? Let me just go to her party because bye.
Right.
you know, so you really have to just find your way in there and tap into what really makes you stand out. What can you do all the time that you don't have to really bang your head against the wall to say, I got to come up with something new, I got to come up with something new? If you tap into that thing that is yours, it just comes naturally.
Right. Well, let me ask you, is there anything about social media that you all don't like?
The worst thing I think is when people I think use it when they don't use their powers for good, when they don't use it the way it was intended. Like when people do things like follow me back, or when they use it for spam, or they, you know, like I don't like the sort of like the nasty internet-y part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like the seedy underbelly internet. Parts of it, and I'm sure that creeps into just about every, you know, like everything having to do with the internet has a gross side, and that's the only thing that I don't like about it. Other than that, I think it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I think people should be careful when using social media that they don't turn themselves into spam.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking
right.
like a spammer, and I see it all the time. Unfortunately, you'll have people who. First of all, if you have good content, you have good pictures, you don't need to put all your tweets in all caps. Stop it. You don't need to. You don't need to, you know, I can understand you can time your tweets, but you don't need to do that every hour in all caps. You don't need to
right.
go through.
I don't like those kind of tweets.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Because guess what? What happens with me, I'm not giving you any hits. I'm not reading. I'm like, oh gosh, here we go again. You know, I think that you have to pay attention to the rhythm. There's a rhythm.
It has to be organic.
Yes, you have to. Because I see a lot of people, they turn themselves into spam. And people don't want to read that.
They don't respond to it at all. These people will unfollow and shut it down.
Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious. It's kind of like you come across as being obnoxious, so they're like, oh, gosh, I can't. If it's, like I said, if your content is solid and it's relevant and you really have something to say, you miss out because people
mm-hmm.
don't want to go read because of how you present it.
Right.
You know, it's like you're shoving it in people's face. That's how
yeah.
I come across in social media.
Those are the
you know, you would never
I
walk
go,
up to someone and go,
brands.
Right. You would never walk up to anybody and go, hi, my name is Santara. Read the gorgeous ingredient. Hi,
right.
my name is Santara. Read the gorgeous ingredient. you wouldn't do it.
I do struggle with that with brands, with my clients, because they want everything done yesterday, and they want you need to do 3 tweets in the morning and 3 tweets in the afternoon and 3 tweets at night or whatever. You know, it's just like, can't we just do it sort of organically? And, you know, no, that's not what they want. So, I mean, I think it's just a learning process with people. And, you know, I think that, you know, going forward, because a lot of people don't know anything, especially brands and companies that have been sort of forced to use social media.
Right.
They don't know anything about it. You know, they're just like, they hire teams of people and a marketing director, and then they get a team, and, you know, and then they wonder why it's not working.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Because it's not organic. They're approaching it as like this, you know, it's a business thing. It's big business, this Twitter. You know, people, I can hear them sitting around the table now. But, you know, it's like you have to hire somebody like me to do it for you, because the way that you're doing it is driving your customers away.
Mm, right.
Right.
That's true.
Anyway.
We have another question from the chat room. Sharon Tina is asking, if you're being your true self in social media, but people have placed you in a category that wasn't in your plan, how do you reinvent yourself to change it?
Wow, that's a good question. Sharon, mm-hmm. Tina, love her. how do you reinvent yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've always found the easiest way to reinvent yourself is just start talking about other things, or just be, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, if you want to be a beauty expert, get a business card made that says beauty expert and start passing it out. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Just start mm-hmm. talking about something else. You know, it goes back to controlling your image and the way that you're portrayed and your outward, you know, facing image to the world. Just switch it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And then whatever that other persona is that people think that you are, just don't talk about it anymore.
Right.
Right. Yes, and streamline. Whatever it is that you've presented to the public, you start
mm-hmm.
streamlining it down. You know, you,
right.
you want to not do that so much, you know. And I think, you know, the good thing about Tina's question is that she is the social media generation. She grew up on social media. So,
right.
You know, being in that generation, you talk about everything. And now she's a woman. She's come into her womanhood, and now it's like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. So it just as you matured in your life, you have to do that in social media. You
exactly.
know, just kind of come down a little bit about your personal life, and, you know, and it's hard. It's like you have to wean off. You have to make a conscious decision. Oh, no, I'm not going to tweet that. Okay, they really don't need to
uh-huh.
know that. You
right.
know,
exactly.
You have to start saying, you know, come to that. And then, you know, when you want to tweet about something personal, then you can say, you come up with something. You say, hey, you know what? Let me talk about, you know, some shoes or something. You know, being a, you know, I'm using Tina as an example because it was her question, but with her doing daily style, you know, start talking about daily style.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, just
you
start
know,
talking about something else. That's the easiest way to
right.
reinvent yourself. Just make
yeah.
everything else go. Make what you don't like go away.
There you go. Exactly. And don't change your name, because I know that's probably in there too. Should I change my name?
No.
She always wants
no,
to know.
No, don't change
yeah,
your name.
No.
Speaking of names, okay, what about people who are maybe makeup artists and they use their blog's name, or people who are makeup artists and bloggers but they use some other name that they've made up that doesn't really relate to what they're doing?
I would change it to your business name, or I would change it to your full name, like whatever your professional
yeah.
name is.
Right.
Definitely. Definitely. And I've seen people, you know, do that. They've had a different name, and it can be something funny, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they talk about being an artist, and then they come back and they change the name, and I say make it just your name.
I've seen some real stupid names. I'll tell
I could see real crazy names, and I also think it's not necessary for you to put makeup artists in any fun kind of creative way of spelling it or MUA. It doesn't
MUA,
have to be.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in your name, you know, in your handle
perfect,
at all.
Perfect example, Kevin James Bennett. Hello. He just, I think, isn't his just like KJ Bennett Beauty or KJ or something like that?
Yeah, just KJ.
I mean, it's just simple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you just keep it very, very simple. You know, I've seen so many things, you know. Stop.
You don't want your Twitter name.
I know. I'm sorry. I just yawned. I'm sorry.
You don't want your Twitter name to be Thug Life, but your name is Janice Tunnell and you're a makeup artist.
Oh my
like,
god.
Oh, why you had to use me as an example?
You know how
Thug
Life. That sounds. I mean,
right.
You know,
or my lip gloss is popping.
Yes.
Popping lip gloss 212.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But you know what? But I mean, but if you're not a makeup artist, then that's okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's okay if your name is My Lip Gloss is Popping. It's okay.
Right. Mhm. I agree.
So
that was good. That was good, Tina.
Ladies, any final thoughts? With Leanna's over there yawning, and you know.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I've been up a lot. I've been up since I was in Baltimore this morning. So
oh,
I've been
that's
up since 4:30.
Right.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well, you know what? I turned it on, Leanne, to try to watch you, but I couldn't find the channel.
Oh, it was WBAL, channel 11. It was.
But channel 11 is no longer channel 11. Like I can't go to 11 and find it. I have to some other number.
Weird.
Yeah. So I switched channels and switched channels. Yeah, because of the cable. So I couldn't find you, but I tried.
I'll have the link later. It was a lifestyle segment. So I've been up since the before it was dark outside when I left today. So please pardon my yawn.
Oh wow.
My final thought is just like what we've been talking about this whole, you know, time is authenticity, is being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way for you to be successful in what you're doing, and that's the only way that it's going to be something that's going to work for you.
Right.
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 Mm-hmm. I think, yes, be authentic. Have integrity. Integrity
yep.
is very, very important. If you can't have integrity amongst your peers, believe you me, a brand is not going to want to deal with you. You have to have integrity.
Right.
Ethics is so important.
Yep.
And a lot of people feel like, well, you know, I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Okay, well.
Right.
Without
a job.
Yes, because you have
and transparency too. Like, so make
yes.
sure that people know exactly what it is that you're, you know, trying to accomplish.
Yes, know what you want to accomplish and understand that everybody can see you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, anybody
yep.
that tells you different is lying to you.
It's
everyone
true.
Can see you because. I know Leanne, you know, she's been doing this for 6 years. I'm 3.5 years. And people who contact me, I'm blown away sometimes because I'm like, where did you come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you? And it's the real deal, you know. And they're saying, and the first thing they're saying is, I've been watching you on social media and I've
mm-hmm.
had a chance to read your blog. That's how
right.
mm-hmm.
that's how the letter goes now. I've
yep.
been watching you on social media, and
I've been following you for 6 years, I guess.
Yes.
I would say that. I'm like, they're watching me. They're watching. People look. They're watching.
They are watching. So you have to be authentic, be transparent, but have integrity.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. people will see through the foolishness. They will see if you're not being real, if you're being phony or fake. you know, it comes full circle. The industry is big enough for all of us, but it's not that big.
Right.
Right.
Good point.
Right. And with that said, I'm going to take this last call that popped up. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This is Frances.
Hey, Frances.
Hey, y'all, excuse the heavy breathing. I'm on the elliptical machine. Anyway, I just wanted to call in and say that the show has been really good. I've been in the gym the whole time, so I've been a little cheating because I'm listening. But I do want to say that the thug life fits Denise more than Janice. But anyway, yeah, great show. Really great show, a lot of great information. And I'm so happy to be connected to all you great ladies. And I will see you all next month.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Frances, for calling.
Love you, girls.
Love you, too.
All right. Well, love you, too. Thank you. Thank you, Santara and Leanne, for joining us tonight. I know we kept you all a little longer, but hope you guys didn't mind. But we really appreciated you joining us, and you guys got to come back and join us again. I really enjoyed you.
We will. I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Good time.
Get some rest, Leanne and Santara. I'll talk with you later this week.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Bye-bye, ladies. Bye-bye.